Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event between Calvin Kattar and Josh Emmett. Okay, should be an interesting one, this. Quick tale of the tape, let's start there. So 23-5 for Calvin Kattar, 17-2 for Josh Emmett. Height and reach are on Calvin Kattar's side. So, you know, a decent reach advantage as well as, decent height advantage as well as a couple of inches in reach. They're both listed as orthodox fighters. Josh Emmett is quite comfortable switching stance. He's very good at switching stances to pull people and draw people, switching and stepping through stances to land power punches. He's very good at that as well. Very mobile on his feet, very explosive. Calvin Kattar, on the other hand, although he is quite traditional in the way that he approaches things with his boxing skills, what we saw particularly in the Giga Chikadze fight is that he was switching his stance to mirror Chikadze to be able to keep pressuring him and keep that open side attack from his power kick closed. Every time Giga Chikadze switched his stance, Kattar would do the same thing. So that rear body kick wasn't available for him. Really nice work, but also showed us that ability of Calvin Kattar to be able to switch and move and change his stances. Of course, the thing with Calvin Kattar is the pressure that he puts on people. That can either work really well for him, like it did against Giga Chikadze, you know, walking down into boxing range and landing good shots and then closing him down into elbow range, which I think could be a real key here. But it can also work against him because he is there to be hit. He is walking onto shots. And with someone on the other side like Josh Emmett, who I feel like he wins the physical power exchange. As far as their records break down, it's actually Calvin Kattar that's got more finishes by TKO on his record. But I do feel like Josh Emmett's the one that's got the more horsepower. You know, Calvin Kattar beats you up by wearing you down, similar to Max Holloway. He was outpaced in the Max Holloway fight, which is, you know, no surprise by Holloway. But usually that's what Calvin Kattar's able to do to other people. And it's the volume of striking, which eventually something starts to get through. And you could see it on Giga Chikadze, who's obviously quite used to being hit. He was being pushed and backed up and looking under pressure and never being able to establish his feet so he could start throwing with power shots to make him pay. Josh Emmett is able to muster power very, very easily. You know, we saw him drop Mirsad Bektic with a jab. You know, that beautiful step across right hook that he landed on Michael Johnson. These are the things that Calvin Kattar's got to be really careful of moving forward. As far as let's keep going with the stats. So strikes landed per minute, of course, is going to be higher for Calvin Kattar. Striking accuracy is much of a muchness, 3%. Striking defense, of course, has been he's taken a bit of a hit on these stats, Calvin Kattar, because of Max Holloway. It's also worth noting that his last three fights were all five rounders, and the last time Josh Emmett fought over five rounds was back in 2014. So the pace of Calvin Kattar, I feel like, I'm not saying that Josh Emmett's not supremely conditioned, because he is. But something else that's evident about Josh Emmett's career and the struggles that he's had is that he is very susceptible to injuries. He does carry a lot of injuries. He's very explosive and very powerful. And, you know, you watch some of the workouts that he's doing, and first of all, you go, this guy's an animal. And second of all, you go, I can see why he gets injured, because he gives everything into it. You know, and the problem with that is that these things start to show over a 25-minute fight, especially if Calvin Kattar's, you know, he's working low kicks, he's hitting with elbows, he's keeping a fast pace. So then, you know, Josh Emmett's forced to work explosively at a pace that's maybe a little bit too much for him. And then those weak links in the chain start to break, the old injuries, you know, the pulled muscles, the tears, all those kind of things. They're the things that Josh Emmett is going to be feeling as this fight goes on. I'm not saying he's not going to be able to work hard over 25 minutes, but the injuries that he's carrying, the injuries that he's had throughout his career, they might be evident as this fight goes on. On the other side, Calvin Kattar, of course, as you know, he's got some scar tissue. He's had his nose bloodied several times. There is a possibility that he might be walking onto big, powerful shots by Josh Emmett. And even if he's landing equal or more strikes than Josh Emmett's landing, he might be coming off worse. So that's where the power exchange is for me. As far as their records stack up, a couple of interesting things. first of all, they've both got two submissions on their record. Josh Emmett's got an arm triangle and a guillotine, and Calvin Cater's got a guillotine and a triangle. So I'm not expecting them to tangle too much on the floor. It wouldn't surprise me if we see Calvin Cater trying to put a wrestling game on at Josh Emmett to wear him down, but I also think that Josh Emmett's takedown defense is going to be pretty strong in this one. If Josh Emmett decides he wants to take Calvin Cater down, that is going to be a ferocious scramble because Cater, he has got good wrestling, 89% takedown defense. You know, he's going to make Emmett work hard for everything he gets there. And that might be one of the reasons why Emmett decides he doesn't want to tangle there too much. It is so much more efficient to hit somebody with one punch and knock them out than it is to take them down and control them and search for submissions or, you know, try and establish a position where you can land powerful shots and do damage there. Because Josh Emmett is able to step across and land a clean shot or sting you with a jab as you're walking in and drop you, I feel very much like the game of Emmett will be move around, hit him with power shots and stay mobile. And for Cater, it's going to be a case of walking him down, trying to smother whatever's coming at him with good defense, and then counter with numbers. Six knockouts out of 17 wins for Josh Emmett. 11 knockouts out of 23 wins for Calvin Cater. You know, 9 decisions on Emmett's side, 10 decisions on Calvin Cater's side. The other thing that stands out to me as well is, so Cater's never been stopped. He was very, very close against Max Holloway, as we all know. He's never been stopped. He's been subbed once. Emmett has never been subbed, but he has been stopped once. I mean, you can remember the Jeremy Stephens fight where he got dropped and elbowed into the canvas on that one. The fact that Calvin Cater uses a lot of elbows in his game and the fact that we've seen that development, especially in his more recent fights where he's stepping on and smashing with elbows, that is a primary game plan if I'm Calvin Cater coming into this one. Because if I'm going against someone that's powerful, I can meet them with hard forearms and elbows and start to open them up. And because Emmett does cover distance very quickly, it might be easier for Calvin Cater just to cover with sharp elbows than try and get out of the way or try and slip and roll. So that is a decision based on whether Calvin Cater feels safe, he wants to stay in the pocket, or whether he wants to use his boxing defense to get out of those equations. But the fact that Josh Emmett covers distance very quickly, I'd be trying to move him onto one of those elbows and meet that force that he's bringing to me. What else is there to talk about? Think about it. So, like, think back to Josh Emmett's fights. You know, he's darting around, he's switching his stance. When he comes in and hits you with shots, people get hurt. You know, he's very, very powerful. With Calvin Cater, he's going to be trying to step on Emmett's lead foot all the time. And he does have a tendency to follow a little bit. I mean, it is more difficult to cut somebody off in a cage than it is in a ring because the corners are wider. But Cater, he does kind of paint people up against the ropes, up against the fence. But Josh Emmett being so quick and so good at changing his direction and changing his stance, I feel like he might be one step ahead. So as long as he can maintain that output over 25 minutes, he might be able to keep positioning himself to walk Cater onto his power shots. But eventually, as we know with Cater, if he doesn't get hurt with those shots, he's probably going to be able to get to you. And if he gets to you with hands, elbows are going to follow. And we might even see some clinch work just to try and sap the energy of Josh Emmett. Coming off five-round fights, there's one thing that Calvin Cater is going to have, and that is confidence in his conditioning. So I would be thinking about using that as a weapon against Josh Emmett, who's not felt those 5 rounds since 2014. That's a long time to have been fighting 3-minute rounds. And again, I feel like he's supremely conditioned. But over 25 minutes, that's where we really see the weak links in the chain, any old injuries that you've got, or in fact, just really good investment of shots from Calvin Cater, whether it's elbows or body work. Those things will start to sap you and slow you down. A really good main event. The co-main event is the one for me, and make sure you check that war room out as well. But I'm looking forward to this one. It should be an absolute banger. All right, catch you next time.